Welcome to the show. My name is Matt Williams. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for sharing the show with a friend. If you want to reach out to me, you can find me on all the social media sites where we are streaming live every weekday at noon. If you want to watch the show instead of listening to the show, you can also go over to YouTube and check out the replays there. At How to Build a Tent, you can find our shows under the Cross Politic Network on YouTube. You can email me, matthowtobuild10.com. I love hearing from you guys. I love getting your suggestions, your comments, or getting into discussions with you. So please reach out, say hi. I really, really, really mean it. I love hearing from you guys. In fact, today's show comes from one of those emails. You can also go over to Cross Politic. Man, after saying this like all the time, you would think I would get it down. You can go over to crosspolitic.com, become a member, come alongside of us. As we proclaim the Lordship of Jesus in every area of life, you are helping us put out great content, new shows, all that good stuff that you guys are blessed by, I'm sure. And that would just be a big blessing to us. Please also pray for us as well. We need that the most. All right, so today's show comes from an email that I got a few days ago. And they asked me, because we are in the middle of an election season, and it's a pivotal moment, do we continue to allow Trump to get his agenda by reelecting Republicans? Do we pump the brakes by letting Democrats come on the scene and vote for them or not vote at all? Which is Christians, we should never vote for anyone who's pro-choice, which eliminates all of the Democrat Party. And he was saying you should compare the economic policies of Obama and how the economy was doing in the last 8 years with how it's going right now with Trump. And there, because there's such a great contrast between Obama's big government, big spending, although there is still a lot of spending today, but I don't think that's a lot of Trump's vision. That's more of Congress and just their inability to cut spending. So there's a big difference between how Obama saw America, how Obama saw the government and the role it should play in society in the United States versus Trump. And I thought that was a really great topic to get into. So I started doing the research. I started getting into it. I started going back to the Obama days. And I'm telling you, if you want to be thankful, just go back and research the economy back under Obama. It was terrible. Like you don't realize how good we have it now, how great things are going, how optimistic you are until you go back and you look at how things were under Obama. It was terrible. And I started going through the numbers and looking at their metrics, and I totally forgot about this. But one of the things that they did was create like this new category month over month of jobs saved. Remember that really huge stimulus package that Obama pushed through? And it was supposed to save jobs. It was supposed to revitalize the economy. And it did such a good job, they had to come up with new metrics to make it sound good. And one of those was save jobs, which was the predicted amount of jobs that would have been lost without the stimulus, minus the jobs that actually were lost, and that was the job saved. And if you notice today, we don't factor that in. We don't count that metric at all because that number is just political. It is not economical. How do you know how many jobs are saved? That's not a measurable goal. That's not a measurable KPI. And that just got me like just steamed and frustrated all over again. And I just stopped right there. Because I'm just coming back to this realization that I've had over the last couple months is no matter how sound our logic is, our economic policies are, the left, and I'm not talking about every Democrat voter, but I'm talking about the people in power, the ones who are advocates, those are the ones that are out there proactively champion Democrat causes, they don't care about the right answer. They don't care about doing what's best for the economy, what's best for America. They want power and they want to win. And the two things really just reminded me of that in the Obama era that I'm so thankful that we don't have anymore is one, the creation of something like Save Jobs. Their policies were failing and they didn't want to admit it and turn directions and go back to more conservative economic principles, free market capitalist principles. No, they wanted to hide it to get more power, like create Obamacare and things like that. So they created metrics like saved jobs. And also something that they did was they created this new term. You've heard me talk about it before, the new normal. Obama had the worst recovery from a recession in recent history. The economy recovered at a growth rate of 2%. Spending $1 trillion in stimulus, they had the worst results in nearly three decades, I believe the statistic went back, of the slowest amount of growth in a recovery, 2% growth. And what did the left do? What did the liberals do that were in power? No, they didn't change course. They didn't adjust to try something new. They weren't genuinely looking for an answer. They tried to sell that to us as the new normal. They tried to say that, look, we are in a different day where we should no longer expect growth in America over 2%. And that frustrates me so much, not just because it's politics and not economics, not just because it's taking away our freedom, not just because it's spending $1 trillion on mostly junk, but you're killing the American spirit. You're killing optimism. You're killing faith and hope in the future. Now, as Christians, obviously our faith and hope is in Jesus Christ alone, and it shouldn't be shaken by what anyone says. But I just really, what's the word for it? I despise people that try to crush optimism. So I feel like even as Christians, we should be optimistic. So it just reminded me of that. And I realized I just came to terms with, like, look, no matter how great of an argument I can give or how great of an analysis I could give comparing what was going on under Obama with what's going on to Trump, is the people that don't understand some key principles that I'm going to talk about in a second, if they don't understand that, nothing's going to change their mind. And no matter how great of an argument any of us lay out, it's not about the argument, because they don't care about what's best for the country. Is they want their agenda passed. And I think that's been really evident under President Trump and seeing what the left has done and where we are as a nation, which is really sad. And we definitely need to be praying for where we are as a nation. All right, so this is why, from my perspective and how I would articulate it, really the debate is, should we have big government and large spending when the economy is slowing down, or should we have a hands-off small government approach, giving people back their freedom, their money to spend, and not spending large amount of monies, and just have a smaller government? And that is the debate. And it really, to me, boils down to this one key component, that there are three ways that government receives funds. And if we understand this, I think the debate gets a lot clearer. And the first is this. The first way that the government can generate funds or receive funds is by taking private wealth today, and that's through taxes. They tax you every year or quarterly, depending on a business, and that's how they receive, one of the ways they receive funds. The second way is in the future. They take private wealth tomorrow, I say. So you take wealth today through taxes, obviously that is in a year, and then they can also take it in the future, and they do it in two ways, through inflation, by printing money, which takes and impacts the private citizen's savings account. Second way is they issue bonds, which is they're taking on debt. And what that does, it increases interest rates, and it has a twofold impact on the future of our wealth. One, it impacts our retirements that we have in 401k because the market doesn't do as well when interest rates go up. And two, it causes us to not invest in capital and borrow money as much as we would if interest rates were lower, because money costs more to borrow because of interest rates are higher. So that means that companies are going to be investing in less, individuals are going to be taking less risks because money costs more. And when money costs more, you hold on to it more, and it goes into a savings, obviously. So there's multiple ways that the government receives money. And a lot of it is what we see today is, because we're running these deficits and have a large debt, is of course continuing to pass the buck. Interest rates are going to be going up into the future, and the money they're receiving to spend on whatever they're spending today is going to be paid for in the future by our children, by interest rate increases and a slower economy because it's not going to be as efficient and things like that. So all that to say this is, when the government has more funds, when the government is bigger, when it requires more funds, it is taking money from private citizens, from the private sector. And that is the fundamental problem with big government and big government spending. Why? Because the government does not generate wealth. It can only redistribute it. It does not do what the private sector can do. And remember, we were doing that, we were talking about this in one of our first episodes, where how value is created, and you can kind of think of value as wealth at the same time, as you're taking costs, you're taking raw materials, and you're putting them together in a specific way where you are generating a larger benefit than the costs were individually. And that's what creates value. The government does not do that as like the private sector does. Nothing the government does is better than what the private sector can do. And that's including even the military. And I know they're like, whoa, that's not a conservative viewpoint. No, it is. That's why the government has tons of contractors and gives out contracts to private companies, because the private companies still make better military products than the military ever could. And the reason we have a military is not because they're better at it as a government than, or they are more efficient at holding a military or creating a military. It's because we need a standing army, and a company couldn't just incur the cost of a standing army without receiving any revenue from a war or something like, however it would be structured, I'm not sure. But the point is, the reason the government does military is because we need a standing army, not because they're more efficient at it. So even that, we have to understand that the private sector does things better. It's more efficient, it creates wealth. The government does not. Secondly, when the government is active in a sector like healthcare, it's taking away competition. And competition is one of the core fundamentals of what makes capitalism and the private sector work. It's the greatest advantage for an economy as a whole. Maybe not for an individual company, but for economy as a whole, because that's what creates innovation. And when there's not competition, the federal government doesn't have to compete with anybody else. They don't have to be innovative. They don't have to cut costs like private sector does. And what that creates is a bloated government that is a bigger drag on the economy. Because remember, the ways that they receive funds is not because they create value that somebody wants, but it's because they take it by force. Either they threaten you with higher fines from the IRS, they can throw you in jail. That's the only way they can get money. Or they do it the backdoor way where they're raising interest rates or printing money and increasing inflation. So if you don't understand that, one, that the only way government receives funds is by taking it from private citizens, and two, that the government doesn't have to compete with anyone, which makes it inefficient and doesn't make it as competitive, and that's what drives efficiency, then you're not going to care, you're not going to understand the differences between the Obama era and the Trump era. And you're going to make excuses, and you're going to make arguments that don't make sense. Like, really, it just took 8 years for Obama's policies to kick in for Trump. That is ridiculous and irrational. The economy like turned around the day Trump got elected. That doesn't happen if it just is leaking over from Obama, or the impacts aren't just coming over and just kicking in now. And that, those are the kind of arguments you hear when you don't understand the principles of freedom, the principles of the private industry, the private sector, compared to government. And the last thing I'll say about this is I understand that it goes against Keynesian economics that the government should spend to stimulate the economy. But I still believe, because of that fundamental principle that the private sector creates wealth and the government cannot, the government just takes money and gives it to other people, that it is better to not spend money and leave it in the private sector's hands for them to generate wealth in an efficient manner to stimulate the economy, instead of the government taking it and deciding where to give it because of handouts or because of special interest or whatever reason it is. And especially because a lot of these fundamental economic principles, I've said this before, were created before we were in a global economy. And the global economy has changed everything. So countries aren't isolated anymore. What you do in one country is not going to be the sole thing that impacts the economic future or the economic health of the country. We have seen several times in the last 30 years where one country will be defaulting, one country will be in trouble, and it'll have a ripple effect to other countries. That has nothing to do with your policies in your own country when another country is impacting you. And so there needs to be just a fresh understanding, a new way to be thinking about these old economic theories in light of globalism and in light of what we've seen in the corruption of government and how inefficient it is. We need to step back as economists or people that love to talk about economics and government policies, and should we have a big government or small government, and look back and just see the results. I mean, we have a great example in Venezuela right now, what big government is, right? It is not creating value or wealth in Venezuela. It is robbing it. Venezuela used to be one of the richest countries in the world, and now it's like one of the poorest. I know that doesn't really do answer the question of comparing the old to the new, but I just don't really see the point in it, because people are that don't understand the fundamentals of the private industry or the private sector and free markets are not going to get it. They're not going to be persuaded either way. So if you have any questions, thoughts about that, reach out to me on the social media sites. You can email me at matthowtobuild10.com. I'd love to hear from you, and we'll talk to you next time. God bless.